You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. What is something we can all do as part of a generation that would impact all generations down to the next? Let's hear it from this TUI campus series called Generationship.
Praise God. Good morning once again. Thank you for joining us here this morning, even if it's raining outside. And for those of you who are joining us online today, thank you for joining us, for being with us as we worship here in this place. And I pray that even if you are in your room, in your house right now, you're going to encounter God as you hear this message. And as we worship the name of the Lord here in this place, I pray for each and everyone that you will also encounter God this morning. Amen. And starting today and next week, we're going to talk about this new series entitled Generationship. Everybody say Generationship. All right. Now, this term, this title, you cannot find this in the dictionary because we've invented this word. This word is actually came from that word's multi-generational relationship. Because here in our church, here in our movement, we value the next generation. All right, and here in our church, we are a multi-generational church because we are serving a multi-generational God. Amen? And today and next week, we are going to talk about the next generation. Okay, who among here, you have kids, you have teenagers? All right, can I see the hands of all the parents here? All right, so this message is for you and for all of us as well. All right. Now, talking about multi-generational church, I have here a different names in the different generations for the past years, okay? A rough guide to generations. So among here, you were born in between 1901 to 1927? No one? All right. If you were born during these years, you are part of the greatest generation, all right? You are the greatest generation. If you are here, you were born during 1928 to 1946. Is there anyone here? No one. Okay, 1928 to 1946, you are part of the silent generation. I think this is the generation of the World War I, World War II, all right? From 1947 to 1964, no one? Be honest. I can see Kuya Ronnie at the back, smiling, all right? If you were born during these years, 1947 to 1964, you are part of the baby boomers generation, right? Have you heard that term before, boomers, all right? This is your generation. I think this is the generation of Elvis Presley, or not yet. Okay, how about 1965 to 1982? Come on, Pastor Gio, 1982. Mamelo, 1983? 95, okay, you're millennials, okay, not yet, sorry for that. So if you were born during 1964 to 1982, you are part of the Gen X. Okay, this is the generation of Michael Jackson, Madonna, what else? I don't know because I just saw that on television. Beatles, Bee Gees, right? You are the Gen X. How about 1983 to 2000? Come on, Mamelo. We're part of it. He got convicted. All right, Joella, some of you here, you are the millennials. I'm part of the millennials because I was born 1985. Okay, so you do the math, you will know my age. All right, so how about 2001 onwards? Jimmy, all right, you're part of the Gen Z. Okay, most of our youth in the youth ministry, they are from this generation, Generation Z. The last generation, because there's no term yet for the generation after Gen Z. But anyways, the reason why I share this, because just like what I've said, we are a multi-generational God church, and we are serving a multi-generational God, and God orchestrated this church in such a way where we can bless the different generations, okay? Because maybe you are here, you're saying, every nation is just for the young people, because Pastor Jeff, he looks young. Right? Pastor Gio looks young, all right? They are cool. They are handsome. Amen. You know what? This church is not just for the young people, let me remind you, but for everyone, all right? Because this is a multi-generational church, okay? Now, knowing that we are a multi-generational church, our calling is to bless the next generation. Okay, now here's the thing. Here in Macau, there are different Christian churches. It's not just Every Nation, okay? We are part of this big body of Christ. Here in this building, there are different Christian churches here. Okay? I have friends from 14th floor in the ICA, okay? I have friends from Jesus is Lord Movement, Jesus is Lord Church in near Red Market. I have friends from Mihopa Church, okay? The Brazilian Church in Taipa. So there are different Christian churches in Macau, not just in Macau, but all over the world. Okay, there are different movements, Christian churches all over the world. There's Hillsong Church, you're familiar with that. Hillsong in Australia. Okay, what else? Planet Shakers, Elevation Church, Bethel, Hope Church. There are a lot of Christian churches all over the world. And they have a God entrusted to them that specific calling that they are doing right now. And here in our church, okay, the one of the calling that God has entrusted to us, okay, we believe is to disciple the next generation. All right, to reach out. That's why we have campus ministry here. That's why we have kids' church here every Sunday. All right, among you, appreciate our kids' church teachers. All right, led by Meds. Come on, let's give God a hand for them. Hannah is here. Okay, they are doing whatever it takes to disciple your kids. All right, and also every Saturday we have youth service. So among you, appreciate our campus missionary, Joella, Christian, Meds, Jay is also part of the this ministry. And the reason why we have this, it's not because not just to fill our weekends with activities because the missionaries in every nation nothing to do lah. That's why they are doing that. Let's make a camp because we are nothing to do. Right? No, this is our calling. God entrusted these things to us. Just like what I've said, in those churches, they have their own callings. Us in every nation, this is one of the calling that God has entrusted to us. Right now, if you are here, you are a parent, the number one discipleship leader of your kids is you. Okay, the number one discipleship leader of your teenager is you. Okay, the teachers that we have in the kids' church, the campus missionaries that we have here in every nation, we are just in partnership with you in discipling your kids, in discipling your teenager. But when we talk about the number one mentor, the number one discipleship leader of your children is you. All right, everybody say me. No, all the parents say me. Okay, that's why we have to. I know it's not easy. I'm not yet a parent. I know it's hard, but thank God for His grace. Okay, that's my prayer that God, even us, we are preparing now, that God will give us the grace to raise up our future kids. All right. Now today, as we talk about next generation, please open your Bible in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. We're gonna talk about the life of David here. Okay, this is a very familiar story. The battle between David and Goliath, okay? I think I preached this 3 months ago, David and Goliath. But we're going to look at in the different angle of this story. In verse 17, 1 Samuel 17:17, it says here, "Now Jesse, who is the father of David, now Jesse said to his son David, 'Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp.'" Now, just to give you a scenario here, the Israelites, they are in the middle of this battle between the Philistines, okay? And this is a different kind of battle. The Philistine, they represent, Goliath is representing the Philistine because this is the battle of one-on-one. All right, whoever wins the battle, that nation will win. In the nation of Philistine, Goliath represents that nation. And here comes Goliath. When he appears in this battlefield, he's taunting the nation of Israel. He's mocking the nation of Israel. He's shouting to give me your best soldier. Give me your best army. I want to fight with that guy. And here comes David. The reason why he arrived in that scene, the reason why he arrived in that battlefield, because his father told him to bring that bread to his brothers. All right? Jesse, who is his father, told him to bring this and look for your brothers in the battlefield. It says in verse 18, "Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them." So that was the task of David, to look for his brother, to bring that pizza. He was a delivery boy. He's not part of the Israelite army. He's like a food panda delivery, grab delivery here. He delivered that pizza. That was his responsibility, and his task is to shepherd his sheep. Okay, that's his primary task here. But when David arrived in the scene, okay, he heard the voice of Goliath, because Goliath, he's taunting, he's mocking, he's insulting the nation of Israel. Okay? And the Israelites, when they heard Goliath, they were so afraid. Right? Because Goliath, he's taller than Yao Ming, he's like a monster. They don't want to fight him. And when David heard that, okay, it's like there is this righteous indignation, there's boldness, there's audacity in David that he wanted to kill that Goliath. He wanted to fight that giant. Now, here's the thing. The soldiers here represents the present generation. David represents the younger generation, because his age here is like 16 or 15 years old when he arrived in the scene. Okay? So he represents the next generation. And here we can see, before he killed Goliath, because we all know the story, right? Who won in this battle? Goliath. David, right? He killed Goliath. Every time I will read this story, David always win. All right? That's the story. He killed Goliath. He defeated the giant. But here we can see, before he killed Goliath, before he defeated Goliath, David encountered three different kinds of people. All right, that we can learn, that I believe all of us can relate, okay, as we talk about this. The first person that he encountered before he killed Goliath is in verse 28. It says here, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? Okay, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" Because he was a shepherd boy. And it says here, "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." All right, the first person that David encountered before he killed Goliath was his older brother by the name of what? Eliab. Because he started to interview different people before he killed Goliath, before he faced Goliath. And the first person that he encountered was his older brother. And when Eliab approached David here, the way Eliab approached him, it's like he judged the heart of David. There's judgment. All right? Eliab judged the intention of the heart of David here. Okay, when David arrived in the scene, his older brother said, "Why are you here? I know that you are wicked. I know that you are not allowed here." This is what his brother is telling him. All right, there's judgment. There's negative words that Eliab speak to his younger brother by the name of David. And here's my exhortation to all of us. Talking about reaching out the next generation, talking about discipling the next generation, because it's very possible for us to become like Eliab. It's very possible for us to become like him who judged the intention of the heart of David. Right? When we talk about discipling the next generation, how do we react? How do we respond? Are we like Eliab? All right? Are we like Eliab who's judgmental? Because here, Eliab judged the heart of David. All right? And same thing with us. Every time we see young people who are stepping out in faith, every time we see students who are taking the lead, sometimes there's a tendency for us to judge them. All right? You are not allowed here. Right? Why are you talking politics? You are still young. All right? Sometimes there's this negative judgment, just like Eliab. He judged the heart of David when he was in that battle. All right? Whenever we see someone or something, or someone, young person who is posting something on Facebook, vlogging something, faking that lead, there's this tendency for us to judge that person. Why is he posting like that? All right? What are the most famous judgment that we always hear? What are those famous judgments that we always say to the next generation, to the young people? What are those things? That young person, that person will not succeed. All right? The future is not bright for that person because he always play computer. Right? The future is not bright because he's not making his assignments, he's not studying well. Right? Sometimes we instead of positive words, instead of discipling them, instead of mentoring them, we love to say negative things. There's power in our declaration, right? The Bible says that's why we have to be careful with our declaration. How about to everyone? Do you have negative people in your life who acts like Eliab, that every time you do something for God, negative things, these people, who they love to judge you, criticize you, Okay, they judge the intention of your heart. You know what Eliab represents? Eliab represents negative people. All right, the first person that David encountered here before he killed Goliath was Eliab, and Eliab represents negative people. And we as Christians, we have to be careful, right? The way we speak, the way we post something, the way we disciple, the way we reach out, we have to be careful with our words, all right? Eliab, all right, he judged David immediately when David arrived in the scene, right? Eliab represents negative people. Just like what I've said, there are different movements, different Christian churches. Because us Christians, there's a tendency for us to judge them as well. Right? Just because they are from different movement doesn't mean that they are not Christians anymore. Right? We have to be careful with our words. There's a tendency for us to say negative things with other people. We have to be careful because we are accountable to God. Amen? When it comes to our judgment, when it comes to our negative criticisms, we have to be careful because we are accountable to God. And here, Eliab, okay, judge the intention of the heart of David. But here we can see the heart of David, okay? What did David do here? What was his response? The moment that he heard that judgment, the moment that he heard that negative criticism, you know what was his response here? David, he just turned away. He didn't fight back, right? David just turned away. He didn't fight back. What principle that we can learn here? You know what? One thing that we can learn here is that you don't need to fight back. Every time you will hear negative criticism, every time you will hear negative judgment, you don't need to fight back. Just like what happened here, David didn't fight back. No need to prove yourself that you are right and they are wrong. Because that's our tendency most of the times, that every time people will judge us, sometimes we post on Facebook, I'm gonna prove you that I am right and you are wrong. No need for you to fight back. No need for you to prove that you are right. Right? You know what I really appreciate here in our movement? Every time, you know what, our senior leaders here, our senior pastors. How many here appreciate our senior pastor? Pastor Gio. Come on, let's give a hand to Pastor Gio. Right? Our senior leaders here in Every Nation. This is what I observe. Every time there are people who will criticize them, every time there's people who will judge them, you know what? You know what's their response? They will not fight back. Okay? They will just keep quiet, and no need for them to prove themselves that they are right. Right? And that's one thing that I've learned as a leader. All right? The spirit of humility. David here moved in that kind of spirit. The spirit of humility is the spirit of Christ. The spirit of pride is the spirit of the Antichrist. Amen? No need for us to prove that we are right, that we are the best. Amen? Just focus on the things that God is telling you to do. Just like what David did, he was so focused on that agenda. His agenda is to kill that Goliath, to kill that monster. That's what David did. Yes, there's criticism. Yes, there's negative people. But he was so laser focused to that mission that God gave him. So this is what David did. David wants to fight Goliath. So the first person that he encountered was Eliab. And Eliab represents negative people. And the second person, the second kind of people that David encountered here, is in 1 Samuel 17:33. It says here, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." Okay? When David is about to fight Goliath, the first person that he encountered was Eliab. The second person, King Saul. And at first, we can see here that there's an initial judgment. King Saul judged David. But in comparison to Eliab, Eliab was the worst because he was a judgmental type of person. Right? Here, there's an initial judgment, but we can see here the progression of their conversation, the progression of their dialogue, okay? Now, in verse 34, it says here, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock,'" it says here, verse 35, "I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." Wow. So here we can see that David is not just an ordinary boy next door. Okay, he's special. He was a shepherd, but he was able to kill that bear and lion to protect his sheep. It says here, in verse 36, it says here, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Can you see the progression of their conversation? At first, there's an initial judgment, but here, there's an empowering tone. All right? Saul said, okay, go and the Lord be with you. There's a blessing. There's an empowering spirit, okay, from Saul. He empowered David. The next person that David encountered was King Saul, and King Saul represents empowering people, right? Eliab represents negative people. King Saul represents empowering people. All right, my question to all of us this morning, and even for those people who are joining us online today, okay, when it comes to discipling the next generation or reaching out to the next generation, okay, do we empower them? Are we giving them the responsibility? Do we trust them? Do you trust your kids? Do you trust your teenagers? All right? That's why here in our campus ministry, as young as they are, we are giving them the responsibility. We believe in them that they can do better than us. We empower them to preach the gospel. We are empowering them to do one-to-one. We are empowering them to lead victory groups because we believe that they are 10 times better than us. Among here, you believe in the next generation. You believe in the young people. Amen. All right? That's why, just like what happened here, King Saul empowered David. And same thing with us. It's not an accident why we have young people in the church, why God connected them in our church, right? Because God wants to use them as well. Just like Jimmy here, all right? I believe in him that God will use him and he will do mighty exploits for God in this city of Macau. Amen. All right? And all we need to do is to pray for them and empower them, just like what happened here. My personal experience, I've experienced that. The first time Pastor Gio approached me, okay, when he empowered me to speak in front of the people, I was on my early 20s. All right? I didn't feel any Eliab spirit. They didn't say, Jeff, you cannot do it. You're just a young man, single man, okay? What can a single man, okay, can say in front of the people? All right? I was a young person when the leaders allowed me to speak in front of the people. All right? They empowered me because they believe in me. Same thing right now that I'm doing to the next generation. I believe in them. That's why we are training them. We are discipling them. Amen. Yes, they're gonna commit mistakes along the way. But when we talk about Christianity is not about perfection, but progression. There's a progress. There's a room for growth. There's a room for improvement. Amen. You know what? There are a lot of younger ministers here in our church, younger than me. Joella is younger than me, right? Who else? Christian is younger than me. Pastor Gio is younger than me. All right, there are a lot of younger ministers here in our church, and we empower them. May the Lord be with them. All right, may the Lord be with you, Joella, as you go to the campus. All right, if you are a parent here, okay, you can empower your kids. You can empower your teenagers to do things inside of your house. All right, thank God for this empowering culture that we have in our church. Right? You know what? If you will read the story, of course, David win in this battle, right? David won. And here we can see that David moved in a different spirit, okay? He was able to defeat that giant because you know why? There's a supernatural boldness. There's a righteous indignation inside of David. And the reason why it happened, you know why? Because previous chapter, in chapter 16, there's another person that David met here. The one who helped David encounter God. You know what? In chapter 16, verse 13, it says here, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. So when David is anointed to be the king, to be the next king, you know what? Here Samuel prayed for him. Okay, he anointed him, and the Bible says the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. You know what Samuel represents? Samuel represents people who help us encounter God. Eliab represents negative people. King Saul represents empowering people, but here comes Samuel. Samuel represents people who help us encounter God. And that's what Samuel did. The young boy by the name of David was able to encounter God. He was so filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why when he heard that mockery, when he heard that insult from Goliath, he was able to face that giant with so much courage, with so much boldness. You know what's the key? The key is God. All right? Because in chapter 16, he encountered God. That's why he was able to face that giant. He was able to face that Goliath. And it's the same thing with us. In order for the next generation to face their future Goliath, all right, let's help them to encounter God. Help your children to encounter God. Disciple them. I know it's hard, right? I know it's easier said than done, but I'm praying for the grace of God, that God will give you the grace to mentor them, to teach them, to train them, to correct them, to rebuke them, right? The key is for them, let's help them to encounter God. Maybe there are young people that you know, all right? They don't want to face the battle. They don't want to fight anymore. You know what's the key in order for them to face that battles in life? This is the key. Disciple them. Help them to encounter God. All right? There are people, they are afraid. There are young people, they are afraid to face their mountains, their Goliath. But you know what's the key? Just like what happened here. David was able to defeat him. Because in the first place, in chapter 16, someone helped him. And same thing with us. Let's help our young people. Let's help the next generation. That's our calling. That's our job. To bless them. To disciple them. All right? Now, my question is, do we have people who help us encounter God? In your life, assess yourself right now. Do you have people in your life who's helping you for you to encounter God? My next question is this. Why do you think the Lord preserved David's life? Can I get the mic, bro? I want to ask you. Because some of you here, you're kind of sleepy. So I'm going to move around and ask you this question. And if you are joining us online, okay, you can comment in the chat box. Why do you think the Lord preserved David's life, Jay?
So that there's hope for the next generation.
Hope for the next generation. That's a correct answer. How about you, Mamelo?
Because he had anointed him before.
Why do you think the Lord preserved David's life here? Because we all know the story, right? David defeated Goliath because of God. But what do you think is the reason why God intervened?
Part of his multi-generational plan.
Multi-generational plan. Wow, that's a great answer. How about here, Kuya Ronnie? Why do you think, Tito Ronnie, the Lord preserved David's life?
Making him an example for the young generations to become a leader.
Amen. An example to the next generation as a young leader. Amen. All your answers are correct. Thank you for that answer. How about online? Is there anyone? I have read someone who commented this morning, the reason why God preserved David's life is because for God's glory. That's also correct. All right. So thank you for your answers. Later, I'm going to share to you my answers, a specific answer. Why is it that the Lord preserved David's life? But before I share to you my answer, we've invited someone who will testify to us, a young person. Okay. Can I call on Jimmy? This person, he experienced the grace of God, okay? The Lord preserved him. And this morning, he will testify to us how God is using him to advance the kingdom of God to the next generation. Come on, share.
Good morning, them. Church. So first of all, my name is Jimmy, and I'm now a student in University of Macau, and I'm majoring in English education. So before I share my own testimony, I'd like to briefly go through my family background. So I was born in a Catholic family, and I went to Catholic churches and Catholic schools as well. And I consider myself quite fortunate because I could have the opportunity to get to know about Jesus and also the Bible at a very young age. And even if I couldn't comprehend with, you know, the topic, but sometimes I would still bow down my head to pray because I feel like there's a necessity to do so. And yeah, last year, and at one day at lunchtime after school, I was approached by one of the campus leaders called Kua John, and in a park called Victory Garden. And he approached me by asking, do you speak English? I said, yes. And then he asked me another question, do you have a habit of praying? And then I immediately answered him with, yeah, I pray every night before I go to sleep. Wow. And it was at that moment I knew something's going to happen. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how I began my journey in this church.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And from that time on, my life has been changed, and it was never the same again. You know, now looking back on my 3 years of high school, the whole thing was just like a miracle to me. There were certainly chaotic times when my parents had a really serious argument, and at the same time, I was also helping out my friend to battle against anxiety and depression while, you know, ended up having depression myself for a period of time. And so, yeah, I had also struggled to discipline myself, you know, to study subjects that were seemingly uninteresting to me. So I pray and ask God, you know, Lord, why me? Like, I'm weak, I'm broken. How could it be possible for me to take up the position that I'm having right now? And, you know, in the midst of difficulties, our vision tend to get blurred. And yeah, at that time, so. But now looking back, like everything has just happened at the right time for me. I've learned to trust and have faith in God. Like whenever I feel hopeless or regretful, I've also learned the importance of discipleship.
Amen.
And how it could be valued in times when I feel empty inside. Mm-hmm. And those are exactly the reasons why we have to honor God and make disciples of all nations.
Come on.
And to proceed that progress, we have invested time and resources on establishing future leaders. And we believe that they have the potential to achieve something even more astonishing than what we're doing right now. Because God promised to pour out his spirit on sons and daughters, including you and me. Prayer is how we fight our battle, and faith is what makes it all possible. On the other hand, when it comes to the topic of generational gap, problems like that arise mainly because of the unwillingness to put oneself in the other's shoes, as well as the lack of communication and understanding. And interestingly, we don't often tend to witness anything like that in our church, as we establish a Christ-centered relationship with one another. And how many of you agree that age is just a number when it comes to worshiping
Amen.
The Lord?
Come on.
And Amen. So church, why don't we focus on pursuing our goals and passion instead of our trivial things like that, right? And everything we have, including emotions like happiness or sadness or pleasures, are just temporary. But the greater purpose that God has for every one of us is what really counts and lasts forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless all of you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Come on, let's give a hand again to Jimmy. Praise God for that testimony. You know what? There are a lot of Jimmy out there still that needs to be reached out and be discipled. Praise God also for our campus missionaries and campus volunteers that we have who's doing whatever it takes to reach out for these students. That's our prayer, that there will be more Jimmy, who will join us here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? That's our heart. And the reason why God is preserving this church, why God is preserving us, so that we can be a blessing to the next generation, in order for them to hear, to receive the message of the gospel, just like what happened to Jimmy. There's a purpose why you are here in this church. There's a purpose why you are here in Macau. Amen. If you are a foreigner here. Amen. Just like what John did. He used that spare time to go to the campus, and eventually God created, orchestrated that divine appointment, and he eventually met Jimmy. And now God is doing great things in the life of Jimmy. God is using him in our campus ministry. Amen. And that's why we are so excited for the next coming years that God will do in this ministry. Amen. Praise God. And here's my answer. The reason why, can I call on the music team? The reason why God preserved David's life, because number one, God was faithful to the Israelites. The number one reason why God preserved David, because he's faithful to that covenant that he gave to the nation of Israel, started in the life of Abraham. You know what? If David was not preserved and Goliath won, Israelites would have been beaten. And there will be no nation of Israel. And if there's no nation of Israel, meaning God is unfaithful. He's not faithful to his promises. He's not faithful to his covenant. And the reason why he preserved David's life, because he is faithful in the life of the Israel, in this nation of Israel. Amen. And second reason why God preserved David, you know why? Because 1,000 years from David, a giant slayer, the greatest slayer, will come. He will slay the greatest enemy. And our greatest enemy is sin and death. And 2,000 years ago, he defeated that. And his name is Jesus. The reason why God preserved David, because the greatest giant slayer will come from David's lineage. And his name is Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, he came here on earth and he defeated sin. He defeated death, the greatest enemy in this world. That's why right now we are victorious because of him. Right? That's why right now we are fighting in the position of victory because of what Jesus Christ did. Right? We became courageous because of Jesus. And same thing with the next generation. We want to pass this baton to the next generation. And apart from God, we are nothing. That's why it's generationship. The key for the present generation and the future generation to fulfill the purposes of God is for us to bring glory, for us to present to them the message of the gospel, to disciple them. Amen? Not by might, nor by human philosophy, nor by human strength, but only by the Spirit of the living God. That's why David was able to kill Goliath. Because of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Lord, thank you, Lord God, for the word that we receive this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for the life of these young people here in this church. Lord, there is hope, Lord. There is hope because of you. And Lord, thank you for using this church. Thank you, Lord God, for entrusting to us this ministry. Thank you, Lord God, for using the campus missionaries, Lord God, that we have, even the campus volunteers, Lord, who are stepping out in faith, Lord God, taking the lead, Lord God, to advance your kingdom outside of this center. These people, Lord God, who are so passionate, Lord God, in reaching out the lost student. Lord, I'm praying, Lord God, for them, that you will anoint them, continue, Lord God, to bless them, these campus missionaries and campus volunteers, Lord, Joella, Christian, Meds, Jay. Thank you, Lord God, for their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord God, for provision. I pray, Lord God, for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Empower them, enable them, Lord. And connect them, Lord God. Just like what happened to Jimmy. And Lord, I'm praying, Lord God, for the young people, Lord. These people, Lord God, who are broken, who are hurting. Thank you, Lord God, because there's hope, Lord God. All the things that we are seeing, Lord God, social media, television, it's dark, full of brokenness, pain. But thank you, Lord God, because there's hope. You are our only hope. And this morning, Lord, we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. God bless you.